This is a positivity podcast. We will discuss ships of all shapes and sizes. From the pure to the problematic, no ship is off limits. Every ship discussed in this podcast is a work of fiction. It's not real. So therefore, it doesn't really matter. If you don't like the OTP discussed in this episode, why don't you go outside, take a walk, and don't listen to this episode. We'll see you next time. About OTPs, shipping, one true pairings, and all of that great stuff. I am joined by an amazing guest today, a fellow podcaster baiter, if I do say so myself. Who are you, my special guest, and what would you like to be called today?
My name is Ko, and I would like to be called Ko.
Hello, Ko. Who is Ko? So today we've got a really special trope episode. So what trope are we talking about?
We are going to be talking about kind of a couple things today, but the general concept is humans with animal characteristics. In Japanese, that word is kimonomimi. Kimonomimi.
I know, like, a bunch of us have seen these types of AUs floating around. So for those of us living under a rock, right, what even is that?
So... like I said, it's humans with animal characteristics. Specifically today, I want to talk about cat boys and cat girls. And also, we're going to talk about winged AUs, because they kind of fall under the same category. And they are two of my absolute favorite tropes. So the concept here is not like a fully anthropomorphized cat just like walking around. It's like a boy or a girl or a man or a woman or a non-binary person, I suppose, that just has cat characteristics. So they might have like cat ears and a tail usually, and maybe like...
Think Loveless.
Yeah. But like cat characteristics, but they're basically human.
I saw that you had Catboy Vember on your Twitter thing.
Yes, so, well, this year we're calling it Neon Vember.
Neon Vember, oh my God.
Last year it was Catboy Vember. I was going to talk about those later. Yeah, I am a huge connoisseur of the Catboy trope. I do have a sweatshirt that says Catboy Enthusiast. I really love Catboys.
What's your favorite flavor of cat boy?
Anything horny, to be honest with you.
There it is.
Part of what is so fun about the cat boy trope is that you get this kind of weird, you get into this like nebulous space of, are they actually independent? Or, like, honestly, if you think too hard about a world in which catboys exist and apparently belong to other people, it does get a little like, ooh, do you really want to think about that? No, I'm here for the horny. So, you know, I just want boys, you know, doing it. And they have cattails that you can, like, pull or whatever.
Well, it's funny because, of course, like when you say horny cat boys, I do automatically think of Loveless, and I think of its mechanic where once they do, they lose the cat ears, right?
Oh my. Okay, so I don't know anything about Loveless. That would be extremely upsetting to me.
I was about to say, like, are you a perma cat boy? Like, once a cat boy, always a cat boy? Or do you like to see variations as they, like, engage with more experience, I guess I can say, before I get canceled.
I want my cat boy to be a cat boy. I don't want them to lose their cat boy characteristics.
No variation of the cat boy. Well, what are some of your favorite examples of cat boys that you've seen? Who writes a pretty mean cat boy?
Okay, so I have a few fics here. So we did write Catboy Vember last year. So this was a project that me and Airy, who is It's Airy Bro on Twitter, Jenna, who is at Jenna underscore what on Twitter, and Bo, who is Beautiful Lies, we all got together last year and we created Catboyvember, is what we called it last year. And every day we released a different short catboy fic. They were pretty much exclusively horny. There were a couple that were kind of like T-rated, but mostly they were horny. And I originally, when we planned it, we were supposed to keep them to 500 words, and so I actually stuck with that. And then no one else really did. So this year I was going ham. We realized about halfway through last year that we should have been calling it Nyanvember, because, you know, November, kind of, you know, yeah. Anyway, it's a catchier name than Catboyvember. So this year we were going to call it Nyanvember, and I have currently, I think, 3 of my fics done.
Well, by the time this is published, all of them will be done.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah. You can go find them on my AO3. So unfortunately, the other members of the project weren't able to follow through this year just because of like life stuff. But I've opened it up to everybody, so hopefully there will be tons of Catboy content coming in November.
Yes. Oh, we love to see it. We love the community events.
Yeah. So I'm doing like very loose rules, just like, here's a collection on AO3. If you write some catboy shit in the month of November, throw it in there. Like, that is the extent of the rules.
But that's so precious, though. That's like a cute little, like, AO3 doing what it's made for. Just a cute little archive of catboy fics that were written in the year of our Lord 2021.
Beautiful.
2021 flavor of catboy. If you're pulling out the wine collection, this bottle is from 2021. The Catboy wine. So since this episode will be published by the time all of your fics are done, which fic are you the most proud of?
Right now, the one that is complete that I am most proud of is I have a Matsuhana Iwaoi fic where they are all catboys except Iwaizumi. And Iwaizumi comes back from being out. He was over at the Akashi household, so he was over with Bokuto and Akashi and their catboy Kuro, and he comes back and Oikawa is upset because Iwaizumi does not smell like them anymore, so they have to scent him, which is a big trope in catboy land, is scenting. So yeah, they have to scent him, and obviously that leads to sex.
Obviously. What are some other big tropes in catboy land?
Anything that with like petting and like the word is totally like, oh my god, it's not scent glands, it's kind of like Omegaverse. You're gonna have to edit all of this out, my head is just totally what's it called when like you touch a spot and it's like
marking,
horny? Yeah,
imprinting.
No, like
I'm thinking imprinting like fucking Twilight right now.
Oh my god. Like a
touch a spot.
Like a sensual spot. There's a word for that.
Oh, they use it in Hitalia. The engorge zone? Erogenous zone? I can't say it.
Erogenous zone.
The erogenous zone.
Okay.
That.
So yeah, there's a ton with like erogenous zones. Like honestly anything. There's a lot of like collaring is really big. There's a lot of like DS play.
I think of like Adam and Tadashi with but Tadashi's a dog.
Yeah. So. Well, okay, so I gotta say the word again, kimono mimi. That can encompass, there is actually a specific word for cat. It was originally refer to cat girls. I'm not sure if it also refers to cat boys, but it's neko masume. And fun fact, I did research for this episode. So fun fact, that word,
oh my god.
The oldest mention actually comes from Japan in like the 1700s. There was these like traveling exhibitions. There we go. So there were these traveling exhibitions called Misemono, and there was a cat girl performer, and they called her Nekomusume. So that's like the oldest mention of cat girls in like more modern literature. But honestly, the trope goes all the way back to like anthropomorphizing the Egyptian gods, because the ancient Egyptians were all about cats. And so when you saw like Bastet and other gods in like human form, they frequently had like a cat head. But anyway, back to the point, Kimono Mimi. So that's like humans with animal characteristics in general. So that's like fox boys, dog boys, cat boys. I guess technically like wing thick could kind of fit into that, because it's just like in general humans with animal characteristics. So there's a lot of things that kind of fall into that. But more fun facts, that particular smaller example is part of a bigger trope called Mo anthropomorphism, or Moe anthropomorphism, which is like when you put really cute features on something that's non-human. So Hitalia is actually an example of Moe anthropomorphism, because you are anthropomorphizing countries and making them really cute.
Making them real Moe.
Yeah. Other prime examples of that kind of anthropomorphism, you've got cells at work. So you're anthropomorphizing cells. Chobits is kind of an older one, but that's like with a computer. And then Bowsette would count as this. So if you're familiar with the Bowsette meme, they took Bowser and made him cute. And that is technically this kind of anthropomorphism.
The anthropomorphism family tree is like crazy.
Yeah, I went down a whole rabbit hole doing the research for this episode.
Oh my god, how many pages of notes?
Just a couple. I didn't write everything down, but I did spend a lot of time on Wikipedia.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Well, since we're still in Catboy land, what are some Catboy fanfics that really hit the spot?
So, I have a couple. One is called Getting Frisky With It. Unfortunately, it's an orphan account, but they did leave it up on AO3. It is a Bokuro fic. It is all the way back from 2016. It's rated E, and it features Kuro as a cat boy, which is he and Kenma tend to be the ones that most often get the cat boy treatment, because
they are Nekoma, like,
yeah, exactly.
It makes sense.
So they frequently get the cat boy treatment, but also Kuro just makes a very good cat boy. So in this particular case, Kuro is like a cat demon, and Bokuto accidentally invites him into his house because it's Halloween, and he thinks he's just like dressed up or whatever. And eventually, after a lot of stress, they fuck. And it's very good. Bokuto has a very big dick, and that is one of the tags.
Bokuto has a very big dick.
Which is, oh, no. that's a headcanon. I'll die on that hill. And then the other one I have written down here is by Stacy Smash, and it's called Stacey. Room for One More. Yeah, we love Stacy in these parts. It's called Room for One More. It is Oidai Kuro, and also rated E, but it is a multi-chapter fic, and it follows Oikawa is Daichi's original cat boy, but then they find Kuro. He like starts, if I'm remembering correctly, he starts like hanging out on their porch, and
of course, as Kuro's want to do.
And Daichi eventually takes him in, and it's kind of the story of Oikawa like learning to accept and eventually love Kuro. And it's so good. I want to reread it. I didn't have it bookmarked until I was doing this research, and I was like, why don't I have any Catboys bookmarked? And then I was looking through and I found that one, and I was like, that's dumb. Why don't I have that bookmarked? So I did bookmark it. Now I want to go back and reread it.
Sometimes you're just so engrossed in a fic and you just forget to hit the bookmark. Truly. That's why even like when I do that, I automatically wreck it too, because I'm like, I'm going to forget to do this later. So I just do it at the same time.
But yeah, those are both great. And then obviously, I mean, I don't want to wreck my own fix, but like everything else in last year's Catboyvember was just excellent. One that sticks out to me, there's an Iwakuro where Kuro is like a Bakeneko. And he's like holding a sword and he like has it as part of him. And so he has to like, Iwazumi has to like pledge his loyalty to Kuro to get the sword. But to do that, they gotta have sex. Unfortunately, she didn't actually write the sex because of the constraint of words, but you can imagine it. I suggest that you do. It's very good.
I suggest that you use your imagination. PSA, use your imagination.
Eri wrote one with Sakusa and Ushijima.
Oh, that yeah.
that was focused on hands because that is Eri's MO. That was very good. And I am not remembering any. Bo is going to kill me for this. I can't remember any of the ones she wrote off the top of my head. So I'm the worst friend.
Well, at least we have it on recording. So yeah.
She'll forgive me, maybe.
Well, you could always put the rec in the QRTs and in the show descriptions anyway.
Yes, I will do that. So definitely check that out.
Hell yeah. So we're going to continue with the Catboy questions. When you are looking for Catboy content to consume, do you tend to like Catboy just plopped into the canon or do you like a whole ass Catboy AU?
I like it both ways. I really like the concept of like everyone's just walking around, but also sometimes they have ears, like extra sets of ears or whatever. But I also like when it's just focused on the Catboyness of it all. That's also good. Both ways are good.
It's that gif of Emilio and Tulio going,
yeah, both.
Both are good.
Both is good.
Both are good. This is not the normal post-break type spiel that I usually give, so we're going to pivot for this special episode, and now we're going to talk some wing fic.
Hell yeah.
I won't lie, like when you're like, oh, we're going to talk about wing fic, I'm like, oh, so this is when we're going to talk about Boku Waka, right?
Well, yes.
Stealth Boku Waka episode.
I'm predictable.
Good shit. All right, let's talk about it. So, for those of us living under a rock, what is wingfic specifically?
Okay, so this kind of ties into what I was talking about with Catboys. It's definitely like a human with animal characteristic sort of thing, but it's just humans that have wings. It can be, sometimes it goes into more like of a bird, like a whole bird situation, but frequently it is just like they happen to have wings along with all of their other features. And the history of this was super fascinating. So first of all, if you want to learn more after what I say here, go to fanlore.org and you can look up wings and fanworks. And there's a whole page about the history of wingfic, which I found super fascinating while I was doing this research. So the exact date of emergence is unknown as to when people started writing wings on people in fanfic. It may have existed in a fandom called The Professionals, which I had to look this up because I had never heard of it, but it was a British show in the 70s and 80s that was huge into like slash fic. And that's where, it's not where slash fic originated, but that fandom, like was born out of slash fic. Basically.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was like this huge show that like a lot of people watched back then, and it had a really big fandom. And of course, it may have also existed in the Star Trek fandom in the 80s, because Star Trek is basically the origins of modern fandom. But things like that have existed for a really long time. It didn't become more like widespread and wider known until the early 2000s. And it's not like a specifically like the catboys and catgirls, like, very much come from Japan, and it has been born from there, where wingfic kind of is more of a Western concept that has spread the other way. So I thought that was kind of interesting, because even though these are very, in theory, these are similar concepts, they kind of came from different places.
That's really cool. Like, I think of wings, my mind automatically goes to, like, fucking Artemis Fowl or some shit like that. And I remember, because I was not a reader in elementary and middle school until I found my first Akuraku fanfic. But anyway, I remember, like, a lot of my friends would be like, I like that they have wings, like in Artemis Fowl or some shit like that. Or I could be wrong. Maybe it isn't Artemis Fowl and I'm just, like, spewing bullshit. But I remember it was, like, popular amongst, like, my group of friends. Like, they were into that sort of thing in, like, the literature that they read. Were you into it, like, when you were younger?
Not that I recall. Now, this is kind of a weird area for me. Honestly, I am terrified of birds. Here is some cool lore for you. I'm terrified, actually, of all animals that fly. And so the fact that I like wingfic so much is kind of bizarre. But I don't remember being into it in school. I remember getting into it when I was in the Avengers fandom.
Oh, God, Avengers.
And yeah, I was a huge MCU stan, like 2012 to 2015-ish. And it was a very popular trope at that time, because there were two characters. So Hawkeye is the guy who shoots arrows in the Avengers movie. And I think he has some bigger roles in later movies, but I didn't watch any of those. I kind of stopped after Civil War. How much I hate the MCU, the modern MCU, can be like another episode, I guess. But I
could
talk about that.
We could do that for my bonus show. We could do What's the Trauma on MCU fandom. God. Okay, we're manifesting this. Become a patron so you can hear it, because it's going to happen. Yes. Anyway, so it was between Hawkeye and who?
Sam Wilson's character.
Oh, shit!
Who is... I'm totally blanking on his hero name right now.
Isn't he... Falcon!
Falcon, no? Thank you.
Yes, two birds, one stone.
Yeah. It is Falcon. He later becomes Captain America, but the place where he originates is the second Captain America movie, at least in the MCU. And he is known for having mechanical wings. They're like a backpack that he wears, and then they, like, you know, when he wants to activate them or whatever, he starts flying. Well, of course, there are a ton of fics where he actually gets wings, and that they are, like, part of him instead of just mechanical. So I think that is where I got into it. I don't really remember it being into it before that, but great trope. And since then, I tend to seek it out in the fandoms that I'm in and other fiction. So
what were the spoils like when you came to Bokuwaka?
Not as much as I would like.
Really?
There really is not a ton of wingfic in Haikyuu fandom, and a lot of it...
That's so surprising to me, because the fact that Furukadani are, like, the owls.
Yeah, so you would think it would be more of a thing, but I do have one fic that I will bring here in a few minutes. I brought it on my last Bokuwaka episode. You're going to get it again, because it is my favorite fic, and it is wingfic. So there's, like, one big Bokuwaka wingfic that I really love. And then the other ones that I can think of that are really big, there's a Kagehina one.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. There's an Iwa Oi, but again,
of course.
But yeah, it's always surprised me that I have a hard time finding more Bokuwaka wingfic. So here's a call to you, dear listener. If you have Bokuwaka wingfic for me, dear God, drop it in my DMs. I will love
dear God,
forever.
Drop it in the DM.
Because I simply love Bokuwaka, and I love wingfic. So when you put those two things together, it's a very happy co.
I first started reading actively wingfic from NHOX. Like, that was, like, my first introduction to it.
Oh, man.
And, oh, yeah. And I was like, huh, this is interesting. Because, like, with, I guess this is similar with cat boys, how the animal appendages are extensions of their body. So, like, if you scratch the ears, they'll feel it. If you yank a detail, they'll feel it. But I didn't realize, like, how awesome preening is.
Yes.
That shit's that great. You want to talk about that?
Good shit. I do want to talk about that. Actually, one of the fics that I brought is literally just, like, preening the fic, basically. There is something so inherently, like, there it requires so much trust to be like, here's my wings, don't fuck them up, basically.
Yeah, what is preening?
So preening is I'm not gonna pretend that I know anything about real birds, so this is something I assume real birds do for each other, but I couldn't tell you, to be honest. But in fic, preening is it can be familial, it can be platonic, it can be romantic, but it is frequently where you and a trusted loved one basically, like, groom each other's wings, and you'll, like, go through and, you know, remove all of the bent and broken feathers, and there can be, like, a massage element involved that tends to get a little more sexual. But yeah, preening is just really, it's one of my favorite parts of wing fic, because there is this, like, inherent trust in just, like, presenting your back to someone. And maybe that's part of it, because, like, you're expecting that they're not gonna, like, hurt you or anything like that. So, yeah, it's very good.
It's like when the cat boys show you their belly, when the bird boy gives you his wings, it's like, don't break them.
It is exactly like that, yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I know for actual birds, when they grow new feathers, they're these, like, things called, like, pin feathers, because the feather hasn't, like, spread yet. So it's kind of like this prickly, like, type thing. And when birds preen, it's them kind of, like, brushing out their feathers almost. And as you said, like, cleaning. So it's almost like the most vulnerable, like, part of themselves is being exposed. And I think that leads to some very delicious tension.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Actually, when you were saying that, I just remembered another fic that I did not write down that I will mention here in a few minutes. There's a Norio fic that would be obviously Boku Waka. Norio only ever wrote Boku Waka, but I just remembered that that is a fic. I just didn't have it written down.
Well, guess what? Now's the time to do that. So, what are some delicious wing fics that you would like to recommend?
Well, first of all, let me start out here. I forgot to read my stats on Catboys. But there are 20,000 fics tagged wings on AO3. About 4,500 of those are explicit, which, if you compare it, cat boys, the tag cat boys and cat girls has about 2,000 works, and, like, half of those are explicit. So I also think it's interesting that even though these things came from similar places, there is something that's, like, more inherently sexual about cat boys and cat girls as opposed to wing fic. The actual tag wing fic has about 6,200, and then there is, like, a separate, kind of separate but related tag called Wing Kink. Those are actually, honestly, because you're using the word kink, those are a little more explicit. But you would have to keep in mind also that that's not necessarily a winged AU. You could have characters like Hawks who actually do have wings, which, by the way, I have not read My Hero Academia, but if I ever do, it's going to be for Hawks. And Mirio and Tamaki. I
that motherfucker.
Yeah. There's, like, three characters in My Hero that I'm like, I don't know this franchise at all, but these are my children, and I love them.
They're honestly them. Good children to have. Like, if you were to pick ones from that show, I think those are, like, that's good taste.
Excellent. All right. So I'm going to bring two Avengers fics today, because somehow I still have these bookmarked after all these years. There's one called Put Your Arms Around Me, Baby, I Just Want to Fly. It is a Steve Sam fic. It's rated T. It's by Grey Duck, Grey Goose. And this is the preening the fic that I mentioned. It's the sort of AU where everyone has wings the whole time. And after Steve comes out of the ice, he kind of like lets his wings go, and he doesn't really, he's not like preening himself or anything like that. And so Natasha gets him a gift card to a spa where they do like wing care so that someone will take care of his sad wings. And Sam is a masseuse there. And so,
Ooh.
there is, hang on. Sorry. There's another Avengers fic. It's also Steve Sam. That was my bias. I was a Steve Tony at first, but once 2014 came around, I switched over to Steve Sam. Anyway.
Damn, Civil War did it for you, huh?
Winter Soldier is just a hell of a movie. Anyway, so Steve Sam fic, it's called Already the World Entire. It's by Per Waldorf. Side note, if you're an Avengers person, all of their fics are good. This is just the one I'm bringing today. Also rated E. This fic, I believe Steve, or I'm sorry, I believe Sam grows wings as part of the fic. There was another part of the fun of Avengers fandom was you could also often like do random things and just be like, well, Hydra did it. And I think that's what it is in this case. I think
Oh my
Hydra
God.
somehow gave Sam wings. I don't remember the plot. I just remember that it's really good and it was hot. That's what I have for you. And then I am bringing once again. Oh, let me mention that Norio one. Let me look up the title, actually. So, cut out the awkward pause. So this fic is called Anatomy of a Feather. It's by Norio. It is mature rated. And also keep in mind this is tagged emotional manipulation and blood and injury. So, you know, dead dove do not eat. I'm warning you right now. And with this one, it's really interesting because Akashi is actually the only person who can see wings. So like everyone has them, but they're invisible to everybody but Akashi. So that one is very good. Obviously, Norio is a fantastic Boku Waka writer. So if you're into Boku Waka, that's a great one. And then my favorite fic of all time, honestly, this is not just like even my favorite wing fic, it is my favorite fic, is called Keep Making Trouble Till You Find What You Love. It is also Boku Waka. It's by Harren Femme. It's rated T. And with this one, you get the preening content, you get Fakura Donia's found family, you get this Akashi who is just in love with Bokuto from the very first moment, and you find out like later in the story that it has been obvious the whole time, but you as the reader didn't know because it's a Bokuto point of view. Oh my God, just I could go on about this fic forever and ever. It is it's so good. It's so
What is like just your favorite part about it?
I think just the whole f I think that's probably the fic that sold me on Fakura Donia's found family. There is this scene where they're all preening each other. Like Bokuto, Akashi, Konoha, Washio, Komi, and Sarukui are all preening each other. And like sitting in a circle and just like chatting and gossiping. And it's like this very like transparent moment for all of them where they're just like sitting and trusting each other and being like close friends. And it just really it really hits me in the feels. Especially like that fic goes more into the backstory of like who can preen who, which tends to vary based on like your fic and your author.
Ooh,
And since
what's the
that
deal with
one,
that?
so with that particular fic, it tends to be like only between really close friends, and like family members. And Bokuto's family, does not do it for him because he has ADHD and he does not sit still. This is another reason I love that fic. It portrays Bokuto having mental illness, which is another headcanon on the hill of which I will die. But yeah, he so he his wings are like really sad at first. And then as he gets to know Akashi, and then Akashi becomes a preening friend, and then Akashi basically creates a team for him where everyone is supported and loving of him. He actually grows new wings, because in that one also, wings are like kind of a representation of the self. So at first he has like something very basic, some kind of basic songbird. And then he grows owl wings. Later in the story. And he goes through like his first big molt, and I just love that story. I could live in that story forever.
That's really neat. I think it's really neat. It's so cool how like these authors can come up with like the mechanics for this type of universe. I think that's a really fun aspect of all like anthropomorphic tropes in general. Get what I mean?
Yeah. It really is like, it's so fun to see the way that people like kind of take things and make them their own. Wingfic especially, it applies to Catboys too, but just to make a world where everybody just has wings all the time, and how that would change the canon. And yeah, it's great.
Your wing-centered society. Build this world.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I love it. So, similar to the Catboy question, if you were looking for some good wingfic content to consume, do you tend to gravitate more towards, hey, we're going to plop these wings into the canon, or a whole-ass wingfic AU?
I don't know if I can pick. Because with this one, like, I genuinely really love it both ways. Like,
because same answer then.
Yeah, I know. When you get it in canon, you're like, okay, so here is all the same things as canon, but also they had wings the whole time. How would that?
But also Hinata was actually flying, guys. Did you know?
Yeah. There is a wingfic, and I didn't bring it today, but there is a wingfic where like he has like a broken wing, and that's like kind of quote unquote what's wrong with him. Instead of being really short, one of his wings is like broken, but he's like, I'm gonna find a way to fly anyway.
He's like fucking Nemo.
Yeah. So that is really great. But then also, if you just like pull it completely out of canon, and you're just like, this is gonna be something totally different, and I want to talk about all the ways that things are different when people have wings. So both of the wingfics I have written personally are complete AU, that aren't necessarily like related to canon, but I love it both ways.
Hell yeah. All right, so we're rounding up to our penultimate question. So is there anything you would like to say about Catboys, wingfic, anything else we've talked about?
Oh, let me take a chance here to promote, I guess, my own wingfic. It's not quite out yet. So I have two wingfics that are already out, that were both published. Oh my God, that was last year. It is 2021, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, by the time this episode's out, we will be in the future. So we are in the past. Hello from November. Oh, how is life? I hope you're okay. Rose, I hope you're making it. It's gonna be a rough time of year for you. Good luck. Oh God. It'll be interesting.
So by the time this gets published, it's like almost 2 whole years ago. One is Bokuro. It's another one where they just preen, and the other one is Kuro Dai, where I kind of like made it like Karasuno versus Nekoma, like if they were all like sprinters, but with their wings, like they're flying. Anyway, so there's those two. And then Kat and I are writing a wingfic right now. Hopefully by the time this episode comes out, we'll have at least some of it published. It is called Rise With Me. And it is Kuro and Akashi and Suga together. And yeah, I am just really loving this fic so much. So I hope that you will go check that out.
Hell yeah, we'll have the links in our description. All right, well, you know what time it is, fam. If you could summarize your Kimono Mimi, I hope I said it right, I'm sorry if I didn't, experience in 3 to 5 words, or maybe a short sentence, what would that be?
The good horny shit.
Good horny shit, honestly. Oh, you'll love to see it. That good horny shit.
That good horny wow. shit.
That good horny shit. Well, thank you so much, Ko, for coming on the show for our second Stealth Bokuaka episode. Gotta rack that up. Now is the time where you can plug your stuff. Where can people find you? What are your ads?
I am Josh Lyman everywhere. It is Josh Lyman. There's two L's in there. That is my Twitter. That is my AO3. That is my rarely visited Tumblr. That is my card. That is where you can find me. If you enjoy the sound of my voice, I also have a podcast, as Ro mentioned. It is called Page One Podcast. And we do a little more of kind of what I did in today's episode, where we go back in fandom history and we talk about what people have done or what they've written in their history. We read really old fanfic and kind of laugh at ourselves and look forward to the future of fandom as well. So I've been loving recording it. So, and Ro was on an episode.
Yeah. It's a very fun time for sure. And all of y'all should check it out wherever podcasts are ready and available to listen to.
Yeah.
And if you like what you heard here, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. We have got a shit ton of episodes in our backlog at this point. Dang, we're getting up there in episode count. I don't even know what number this will be, but we're getting up there. But yeah, we have a bunch of Haikyuu episodes, another Bokuaka episode featuring Ko, and you can find us on Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever, as I said before, podcasts are readily available and easy to listen to. If you want to further support the show, we have a Patreon where you can become a oomph moot or bestie. Those are the tiers, of course. And you can get access to bonus shows like the one I kind of teased here where we talk about fandom trauma. Because, you know, you can say whatever you want behind a paywall. And and my other show, Expedition Omegaverse, where we talk about that good, good trope that you all know and love. Omegaverse.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can find the link to our Patreon pretty much anywhere, yeah, where our social media is. And speaking of that, we have a Twitter and a TikTok at The One True Pod where we post memes, shit positivity, all that great stuff. If you want to find it, it's there. And if you want to be a guest on the show, because I love having every type of person on this show, you can always slide into the DMs or send us an email at theonetruepod@gmail.com. One more time, thank you, Ko, for coming on the show. I'll see you all next week. Bye!
The One True Podcast is made possible in part by the generous support of our patrons. Ko, Blessin, Lena, Kennedy, Angie, Lauren, L, Moss, Linky, Liz Lubes, Slumber, Brittany Babbles, Carla Rodriguez, AO3_Faints, Emily Rowe, Roro, Saria, S, Ray, Trip, and a hapless bystander. Thank you so much for all of your support.
That's a hard word to say. The anthropomorphism.
I'm surprised I haven't said it wrong yet.